Well, I don't know about you, but I enjoy the occasional jog or walk around the block. And if I'm feeling extra ambitious or if it's nice and warm outside, I'll go a little further than I usually go to get the blood running and the heart pumping. In fact, my wife Lisa and I got these Fitbits for Christmas. I don't know if you know what they do. They're a bit of a pedometer, so they tell you how many steps that you take in the day. And Lisa is way ahead of me, so I probably need to go for a few more jogs to catch up. But despite all of this openness towards cardio fitness, there's one thing I've never felt compelled to do. And I don't know about you, but that's to run a marathon. To run 26.2 miles, or approximately 42 kilometers, and to push my body and my muscles until they're begging me for mercy. That's just something it's never really appealed to me. And I don't know if it appeals to you, but surprisingly, it does to a lot of people. You only have to turn on the TV and watch the Boston Marathon to see thousands of people gathering for that, or even here up in Toronto. It's a very popular thing. And I actually have a friend named Mike who's the youth pastor over at Knox College, sorry, not Knox College, Knox Waterdown, the church I'm doing my placement at. And he is, to put it bluntly, obsessed with marathons. He will go months into training for that single day of the race. He will make himself these crazy diets and put himself on these regimens to just be able to run. And there's something interesting that he just told me a few days ago that I wanted to share with you. And that's, believe it or not, that running a marathon is less about the physical aspect, so your muscle or your cardio fitness. It has far more to do with motivation. So, I mean, you have to be physically fit enough to run the marathon itself, but without an inner drive to finish the race, even the best trained, even the fittest runners will hit that proverbial wall. At that point, if they don't have that extra something going on inside of them, and the finish line is still far out of sight, their legs will just collapse right underneath them. And that's what Mike likes. That's what he loves about running the marathon. He has a passion for that challenge of the head game, to have complete control and utter focus to make it to the finish line, regardless of how his body's feeling. Now, why am I sharing this with you? Maybe you're like me and you've never really had any sort of interest in running a marathon. But as we've heard from the scripture this morning, the Bible, and Paul in particular, loves to talk about running the race. And it talks about this in terms of the lives that we lead and the faith that we have in following Jesus Christ. According to scripture, whether we like it or not, we are, in fact, running a marathon, a distance race that requires an equal level of rigor and endurance in which to reach the end. Run in such a way as to get the prize, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, throwing off everything that hinders us and running with perseverance the race marked out for us. All of this, which Paul writes, lines up very well with that old adage, and I'm sure many of us have heard it before, that life isn't a sprint, life is a marathon. And actually, according to Dorothy from my weekly Bible study over in Waterdown, who just turned 96 this week, life has been a double marathon. So, yet if we think about it, how many times have I, or have you, felt like you're about to hit that wall in your life, like your legs are about to give out from underneath you? What is it about your life, about being a disciple of Jesus Christ, that challenges you, that exhausts you, that demands of you more than what you think you can give. You know, there's a multitude of things that can weigh heavily on each and every one of us. They could be our health, our relationships, our finances, even time. They differ from person to person, but we all experience fundamental challenges or struggles in our lives. And there's no exception to that. No one goes through life carefree or without challenge. And as Christians, we're actually promised that we will experience suffering when we follow Jesus Christ. That the race of our lives is even harder because of it. For he says, whoever does not bear his or her own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. But here's the thing. We, as Christians, are doubly privileged by that. To run the race in the first place is a privilege. To be given this life to live despite the challenges that we might face is, in fact, a blessing. The language of the marathon that Paul is using is so fitting here because it's likely that none of his original audience would have been able to run that race in the first place. Definitely not women, and definitely none of who would be of Jewish descent. They were pagan races, and in the Greco-Roman world, they would run them naked, so they would know if you were a Jew or not. So. Only professional athletes who dedicated their lives to this activity and who were sponsored by a city were allowed to compete. They were the celebrities of the ancient world. And these races were completely off limits to everybody else. So this is what Paul is saying to his original audience, and he's saying to each one of us. He's saying, take joy in the fact that we're even granted to run this race. Be thankful for the race itself, because we've all been given entry into it. Take joy in the life that you have been given. Take joy in the race partners who are running this race with you. Because this is such a magnificent gift from the Creator God. And so many people don't even know it. But here's the second privilege, the second blessing. Because we are followers of Jesus Christ, we know how to run the race well. By fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith, the one who's run the race perfectly before all of us, we do not run like someone running aimlessly or fight like a boxer beating the air. Rather, we are given direction, as well as that extra something that the marathon runner needs to break through that proverbial wall, to overcome all of the challenges, and to go the distance and make it to the finish line. And maybe asking yourself, what is that extra something? That extra something that we are given is hope. Hope in the resurrection power of God that was vindicated in Jesus Christ. And I want to speak plainly with you this morning that over the coming weeks and over the coming, or possibly the overcoming months, as Barb comes to the end of her race, a race that she has run incredibly well, it's important for us to still run holding fast to that hope. For we who hope in the Lord will renew our strength. We will soar on wings like eagles. We will run and not grow weary. We will walk and not be faint. And ultimately, we too will get a crown that will last forever. And so run with joy. Joy in the gift of the race itself that we're running now, despite the struggles that it poses. Joy in the goal that we're set to attain. And in fact, it's important to realize that that heavenly prize that Paul speaks about is in fact more than just a future destination that we come to at the end of our journey in life. but it's also a present reality, right here and right now. In some small way, in some small measure, we have already attained that crown that will last forever, because we have already become adopted children of God. And to finish, I'd like to share something with you that is very meaningful to me. In the early 90s, Disney came out with a very popular animated movie called Hercules. You may know that. One of the enduring things from that film is the title song called Going the Distance. And it's by Michael Bolton, if anybody's interested. And I'm not going to sing you the song, but I wanted to share some of the lyrics with you, because I think they're so pertinent to what we are listening to right now. And as you listen to them, I invite you to consider everything you've just heard and how these words might reflect your life. Down an unknown road to embrace my fate, and although that road may wander, it will lead me to you. And 1,000 years would be worth the wait. It may take a lifetime, but somehow I'll see it through. And I won't look back, because I can go the distance. I will search this world, and I will face its harms. I know that every mile will be worth my while, till I find my Savior's welcome waiting in my arms. To God be all glory, honor, and praise. Amen.